No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
It was a good day for the Winnipeg Jets off the ice. We knew that entering tonight's contest. The question after the game was, is it going to be a good day for the Jets on the ice as well? And the answer is yes. Good day times two for the Winnipeg Jets as they defeat the Seattle Kraken by a 3-0 margin in the second half of the home and home series. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba, for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. We say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show with Ezra Ginsberg, with Dave Manouk. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to talk about the Jets' stifling victory over the Seattle Kraken, a 3-0 victory for the Winnipeg Jets. They flush the home ice defeat to the Kraken from earlier this week, and they get their revenge served cold in the Pacific Northwest. Gentlemen, good to see you both on this Friday night. We're going to be together a whole bunch. We'll be together now. We'll be together tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Then we'll be together again tomorrow night after the Jets and the Canucks. But it is great to see you both on this Friday night. Ezzy, you're looking fantastic as always.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Rocking the Betway gear, got the Miami Marlins hat on. Dave and I went to go see a Marlins game after the draft back in 2015. I know Dave M remembers that. Kenny Weeb was with us as well. Yep. And it was, I think it was Ichiro Suzuki Japanese Appreciation Night or Japanese Heritage Night. So it was a lot of fun there. But
although yeah, guys, if you remember, Ezzy, if you remember, you and I sat like plebes in the regular thing. And Weber, after using our vehicle to hitch a ride, he went and sat up in the press box.
That's right. I do remember that. And guys, after such an exciting morning slash afternoon with the Jets acquiring Tyler Toffoli and acquiring Colin Miller, and obviously the Vegas Golden Knights pulling the last minute Thomas Hertl acquisition, it was a very exciting afternoon. Mm-hmm. Tonight's game was not exciting. I thought I was the only person on X that was watching. I couldn't the Seattle Kraken, look, they're probably not making the playoffs, but they're only 6 points out of it. And what did they have, 3 or 4 shots in the third period? This is Friday night at home at Climate Pledge Arena, or as I like to call it, Lemon Pledge Arena.
And I mean, like, I'm chagrined to admit that I actually laughed when I saw you call it Lemon Pledge Arena.
Well, I try not to laugh. I'm a witty guy. I mean, you can try to resist it, but like, I mean, that's my superpower, the humor. I mean, I've been trying to get on the rumor stage for a while now, but unfortunately my number's blocked. But yeah, I mean, guys, like, the Jets played well defensively. Let's give, you know, Lauren Brossoit credit here. He picks up his 4th career shutout. And, you know, this was an overall great, you know, team effort, Dave. But, like, I don't know, the Kraken, it was almost like they forgot they signed Jordan Eberle earlier today.
Yeah, no, and I think Ezzy hit it on the head when he said the defense was what stood out. I mean, Josh Morrissey's play was exemplary, I thought, again, throughout the course of this hockey game. And there was, there was one play where he walked in the first period where he walked the blue line. There was another play where he's breaking ankles behind Laurent Brossoit. So I thought Josh Morrissey was very good. And I thought Dylan Sandberg was very good, especially like in that, I think it was in the first period where he breaks up that 3-on-1 opportunity for Seattle.
It was Yanni Gord who had the puck and he made the play. Yeah, the sliding play.
And it was nice because he was aggressive, right? I mean, he could have played just safe and kept in the middle, but he played aggressive and he broke it up. And I just like the way he continues to develop, right? He's not deep into his NHL career, but he's looking like a wily vet out there. And look, I mean, at the end of the day, the Jets were wanting to get a good result. We knew they weren't going to get either of their new acquisitions. Some folks were saying, hey, just fly them across the country. Won't be a big deal. Not a big deal.
Get New Jersey to Seattle. It's not a long flight.
A short one. Hey, look, Wenberg, who went from Seattle to the Rangers, I believe he made it in time to play for his new team in New York, AKA the Winnipeg Jets of the West, with Jack Roslovic heading there. But I think,
and Nick Petan, can we talk for a second about how the Rangers are obsessed with acquiring ex-Jets?
Yeah, but Ezzy, if we're gonna have that conversation, we got to talk about how the Jets are obsessed with obtaining ex Kings, because obviously they got the three in the Pierre-Luc Dubois deal. They got Tyler Toffoli, and Colin Miller was drafted by the Kings, even though he never played for the Kings. He played for the Ontario Reign, but there's five Kings or guys who were tied to the Kings on the Jets.
Yeah, but these are good players. Like, not no offense to, you know, Nick Pitan and Jack
Free
Ross.
Nick Pitan, Ezzy.
Sure. But I mean, Jacob Trouba, Andrew Kopp, Blake Wheeler, Pitan, Roslovic, like Brendan Lemieux, like it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, anyways, the point is that I actually don't know what the point is. It's almost midnight here. We've been going nonstop, and Ezzy derailed my thought. So I don't know where I was going with that. But ultimately,
the Jets played really well defensively, though, Dave. You were talking about that earlier. And isolating Dylan Sandberg, I thought Nate Schmidt as well, back in the lineup for Logan Stanley. He blocked that shot in the third period. There was only 3 minutes left. Kind of like a, you know, not really the most exciting block shot, but I thought Nate Schmidt was solid. And look, I mean, he's a guy who could easily find himself as the team's seventh defenseman, right? Speaking of Colin Miller, we expect Colin Miller to play on the right side, either on the second pair, the third pair. We're not exactly sure yet. Rick Bonus, I don't even think, knows boys at this point. But yeah, look, this was kind of your prototypical kind of, you know, quiet, just really, solid road victory, right? You really prevent a lot of high danger chances. How many high danger chances did the Kraken even have? I didn't even check. I just assumed it was zero.
No, according to Natural Stat Trick at 5-on-5, and this must be very charitable, they had 10 high danger chances.
There's absolutely no way.
Yeah, I mean, they gave him credit for 4 high danger chances in the third period, which is hard to believe because they had 5 shots on goal in the third period total. So I'm not sure who's doing the Natural Stat Trick high danger evaluation tonight, because that certainly would not be how I saw that third period. Would not be how I saw the vast majority of that game. But, to me, tonight's game was the Winnipeg Jets of, you know, December and January, before things started to get a little bit more loose, before things started to get a little bit more cavalier with some of that defensive play. Especially in the third period, look, this is a 0-0 game after 40 minutes. It's a pretty dull first 40 minutes. I mean, that's what Ezzy was alluding to, is that there was not a lot going on in this game through the first 40 minutes. And then the Jets come out in the third period, and obviously they get the 3 goals, and we'll get into them in detail in the Betway game recap. But they really just smothered Seattle. You know, and they smothered Seattle not only in the third period, but they smothered Seattle for a lot of this game. Anytime you can hold your opponent, to Ezzy's point, an opponent that is allegedly fighting for their playoff lives, to a grand total of 17 shots on goal, you've done something pretty good. You've done something pretty impressive here. And this was the Winnipeg Jets making sure that everything's to the outside, making sure that their sticks were active and in lanes to prevent a lot of golden opportunities. I mean, to come up with 10 high danger chances allegedly for the Seattle Kraken, I'm not sure what you're talking about there.
Thank you, Drew. I appreciate you being on the same page as me. And again, I know I'm getting it a little bit in the chat. That's okay. I mean, I'm not saying that this wasn't an impressive win by the Jets, because it was. I mean, defensively, it was really impressive. And like you said, we'll get into the goals here. And, you know, Scheifele's goal was a nice goal. And it was a nice play by Morrissey at the line. And I like, you know, it was a nice hardworking goal by the Lowry line to put the Jets up 2-0 and give them that insurance goal. I think what we're saying is this game didn't have the intensity of the Jets Canucks game from a couple weeks ago. And we're expecting, you know, a much more intense game between the Jets and the Canucks tomorrow night. Thank God. But yeah, I mean, the Kraken aren't doing themselves any favors by, you know, not at least getting a point at home against the Jets, right? They picked up a big, you know, back-to-back victories against the Flames and the Jets. But I mean, the Jets really just shut them down, like you said. And also, I mean, the Scheifele line was solid. We know that, you know, Gabe Vilardi is going to be back soon. I thought Vlad Mestikov played really well. But this was just a more talented Jets team imposing their will against the Kraken.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I agree exactly with what you said about Connor Scheifele and Namestnikov. And I tweeted at how I thought they were impressive throughout the course of the game. And you laughed at me on Twitter, but I know that was you just being your typical shit disturber self rather more than anything else. So I'll let that slide.
They were good.
They had a 5-on-5. That line had an expected goals for percentage of 84%. I mean, they possessed the puck almost 70% possession numbers in the course of that game. So forget about the fact that that Scheifele scored the game winning goal. That line was noticeable all game long, I thought, and they were effective. I mean, the Jets were look. The Jets are a better team than the Seattle Kraken. I mean, I thought the Seattle Kraken were listless for a lot of this game, which I think speaks to your point, Ezzy, that
well, especially in the third, right, Drew? Like, right. It's one thing, you know, to have a slow start or have a kind of a slow couple periods, but in the third period, you know, you're watching that and you're thinking, like, your playoff lives are on the line here. Like, I don't think anybody really is expecting the Kraken to make the playoffs just based on who is right now in the second wild card spot, right? It's Vegas in the first or second wild card spot, right? So,
right.
Like, the West is, we've seen all year, it's top heavy. But the reality is the Kraken are still in it, right? Like, they're battling with the Calgary Flames, the Nashville Predators. We mentioned the Golden Knights. I mean, I don't think the Golden Knights are going to stay in a wild card spot. But for now, they haven't been playing very well. And that's probably one of the reasons why they made all these moves, right? So, yeah, I think if you're a Kraken fan, you were not happy with that performance. But if you're a Jets fan, you were happy with this performance because that's exactly what you needed, right? You didn't want to have a two-game losing streak here going into Vancouver. And now there's a little bit of pressure off you, right, Dave? Now you've got the second game of the back-to-back. We know Hellebuck's going to start tomorrow. And we know that the Jets have been very successful in the second game of back-to-backs this year.
6-0 specifically, Ezzy. So the Jets have not feared the back-to-backs this season. And you're right. It was a good effort. I mean, ultimately you want again, I know folks want to see goals, and sometimes Rick Bonus hockey isn't what I would describe as charitably the most exciting brand of hockey. It's definitely not like the Devils, Ezzy, although we'll be talking about the Devils enough on tomorrow's show, but ultimately this was a team that like Drew said, that we saw previously, and they were tight. And this is a Seattle team that was desperate. So you could say that they were listless, but also maybe the Jets imposed their will a little bit more on them that they had, you know, than they were able to handle. And so, and credit Norm Brossoit because he was good in the win. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, I thought the defense was good. And then eventually the offense got going. And, you know, it's always weird this time of year, right? The trade deadline, like, I don't know about you guys, but I completely forgot. And there's almost 600 people in the chat right now, excited and wanting to talk. Cause like with the trade deadline starting, you know, obviously it started the last few days. And I know Jets fans were a little upset because it seemed like, you know, the Jets were the tumbleweeds were tumbling by, even though 5 weeks ago today, the Jets actually made the big acquisition of when they acquired Sean Monahan. But you know, like I said, there was so much stuff going on today, boys, that I almost forgot there was a hockey game. And I said to the folks at Matt Frost, I said, I'm actually kind of happy that the game isn't until 9:00 because there's so much stuff going on. If it was an early start time, then it would be a little bit annoying because we'd still be rolling through all this trade deadline stuff. So it allowed us to have a little bit of a break with respect to trade deadline and then the game. But look, ultimately, you want to see the Jets play a little bit tighter and imposing their will on their opponents.
Yeah, look, and that's what the Jets did. The Jets, you know, and this is a number of games now, you know, at least in, you know, the last four games against Buffalo and you know, tonight against Seattle, where they were close games heading into the final period, and the Jets sort of just took over. And yes, they lost to Seattle on Monday, but you know, you can almost give them a bit of a pass given how good the road trip was, you know, the two games on Saturday and Sunday were last week against Carolina and Buffalo. And today they just said, look, it's 0-0. It's the third period. This game has been relatively uneventful. It's been relatively easy for us to play this game. There, you know, in terms of a back-to-back situation, the Jets aren't going to be that tired going into Vancouver tomorrow because Seattle didn't push them. The Jets had, you know, if Connor Hellebuck, you know, is still sort of fighting the flu, you don't have to worry about if you have to go to Laurent Brossoit back-to-back because of just how quiet his night was. It's not like anybody on the Winnipeg Jets was especially taxed by tonight's performance, which is, you know, bears well for tomorrow night in Vancouver, where you're facing against the Pacific leading Canucks team and a team that's atop the Western Conference, albeit with more games played than the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets now tied with the Canucks in terms of the points percentage so far. This was just You know, the Jets.
I can't wait till the Jets don't have any more games in hand, and then we can stop talking about the points percentage.
Sure, you know.
You notice that we don't. I'm not. Obviously, I'm giving you a hard time, Drew, because you're not the only person. I've mentioned it. Other people have mentioned it. A lot of people are talking about it, but you don't talk about it unless there's games in hand, right?
Of course. So, you know what I think is funny, and this is sort of a bit of a tangent here, is that it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility that the top three teams in the Western Conference can all be from the Central Division. You know, the Jets won tonight, Dallas won tonight, Colorado won tonight. Well, if those three teams keep winning, it's certainly not impossible for them to leapfrog Vancouver and have 1, 2, 3 in the Western Conference all be out of the Central Division. Of course, there's 2 points now, a grand total of 2 points separating Dallas, Winnipeg, and Colorado, never mind the games in hand and everything. But that just tells you how tight it is in that Central Division. And actually, it's going to go down to probably game 82 to see who gets to play the wild card team and which of those three teams, the Jets, the Avs, and the Stars, get to beat up on each other in round one. So the Central Division, you know, certainly the top three teams in the Central are going to be competitive and neck and neck all the way through the final 82 game, or the final of the 82 game regular season.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way, Drew, that any of these teams can separate themselves. You just mentioned the points, right? Like, it's impossible. The only way that a team can separate themselves is if they win like 90% of their games, which is obviously not going to happen, or if one of these three teams goes on a long losing streak. But based on what the Jets, the Avalanche, and the Stars have done before the trade deadline, that's not going to happen either, right? So,
right. Yeah,
there's obviously a huge reason to finish first in the Central Division and Western Conference, in addition to just having the home ice advantage throughout the playoffs. It's obviously you avoid playing one of the Stars or the Avalanche. And look, I mean, you're going to have to beat one of the Stars or the Avalanche regardless. It's either going to be in the first round or the second round. Yeah. But I think you would rather it be in the second round. That goes back to, like Drew was joking about, you know, there's a lot. I think there's an argument to be made to just go back to the 1 through 8, regardless of what division, because you wouldn't have Boston, Toronto like we've had year after year, even though I love Boston and Toronto in the first round. That's going to happen again this year, most likely, right? So, yeah, I think overall, like, the Jets don't gain any points on the Stars or the Avalanche, but it's a big bounce back win, if you want to call it that, after losing to the Kraken in regulation. I think, you know, we would all agree the Jets deserved at least a point in that game. And now they can turn their attention to a very good Canucks team. Mm-hmm. And even though they're not going to get Toffoli back and they're not going to have Vilardi back, so far the Jets have been playing pretty darn well without Vilardi in the lineup.
Well, look, and Drew, before I forget, big happy birthday shout out to Tyler Derby. He's a big Jets fan from Indiana. He flew to Seattle to see it, and it's his birthday today. So he got to see a Jets win on his birthday, and he went to morning skate. And he had quite the day. So big shout out, Tyler Derby, big fan of IC, and happy birthday to him.
In Indiana. There you go. We're huge in Indiana. I've been to Indiana, Gary. Of course. Gary, Indiana.
No, I've also been to Indiana. Shout out Ari Potash. I went to his wedding, and I went to Shake Shack several times.
So yes. Who was born in Gary, Indiana?
Michael Jordan.
Like a member of the Winnipeg Jets?
Nope. Someone famous.
Michael Jordan.
You're close, Ezzy, in the first name.
Gary Payton.
Actually, the last name initial.
I don't even know what words you're saying now, Dave, so just tell us the answer.
Michael Jackson.
Oh, okay. There you go. Thank you. Very good. Well done.
Reg Dunlop knew what I was going with.
There's Dave's random fact of the day. You know, he hasn't managed to tweet about, you know, which random Jets player passed somebody for 32nd on the
actually all-time. My favorite was when Dave pulls out on X/Twitter when he pulls out like,
yeah,
Tyler Toffoli is only the second Jets player to wear number 73. Who's the first one? Like Spencer Mihocic or something?
No, he was. Oh no. I think
Mark Flood.
CJ Cease was wearing 73 before. So he's the second.
I don't remember Cease wearing 73.
He only played 4 games, so it doesn't really count.
But I thought he was a different. What number does he wear at the Moose again?
28.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a lower number, I thought. But
yeah, and Colin Miller, in case anybody wants to get a Colin Miller jersey, is going to be wearing 24.
Well, there you go.
Previously worn by Derek Forward. And
Chris Chelios.
No, Clitty. Grant Clitsum.
Clitty, clitty, bang, bang.
And last piece of potpourri, Nikolai Ehlers moved one game ahead into the sole possession of ninth place in the combined Thrashers, Jets, all times games played. One ahead of, I have to mention him because as you'll love it, member of the GST, Jim Slater.
There you go, Dave.
I know you want to get into the goals eventually, but I always like the smell of potpourri. Just wanted to put that out there. I always like to go into, you know, you'd go into someone's house and you always knew it was a really nice house when they had that little bowl of potpourri in the, like, on top of the toilet.
Problem was, Ezzy, you ate the potpourri.
That's what exactly where I was going to go with that, is that Ezzy used to munch on that instead of just smelling it. And he thought it was a good, tasty snack as well.
I never ate potpourri, but...
Ezzy, I've seen you eat a bowl of Tums when you thought they were candy at a bachelor party. That happened, folks. We were sitting around having some beverages. This was on Richie P's bachelor party.
You've been waiting to bring that up. Yeah, this is the thing. This is not like something that happened 20 years ago.
No,
when we were like partying in our early 20s.
3 years ago, just before COVID. 37-year-old
man.
Yeah. We were all sitting around having some drinks, getting ready to go out for a night on the town. We're in Music City, USA, Nashville. And because it's a bachelor party with a bunch of, you know, guys who are in their late 30s, early 40s at the time, somebody as a joke brought a giant bowl of Tums and put it out there. And we're watching Ezzy pop them in his mouth like they're
no, candy. No. That's not true. That's not what happened. I wasn't popping multiple ones. I knew what it was the first time I took a bite out of it, Drew. It's not like I ate like 20 tablets.
I don't know about that. I have witnesses who say you did not know.
I'm looking for the collage of Ezzy eating Dunkin' Donuts, looking at the Dunkin' Donuts, thinking about the Dunkin' Donuts, and then eating the Dunkin' Donuts. But well, this is a hockey show, so let's get into hockey.
You're on the Vandy campus then.
And then we can do that afterwards. It's the Betway game recap time.
The Betway game recap.
The Betway game recap on this Friday night / very soon to be Saturday morning. The Jets beat the Kraken by a 3-0 score. The Betway game recap is, of course, brought to you by our friends at Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Ezzy, show off the Betway sweater. You're wearing it right now. Show it off there. Wear it proudly. There you go. You can sort of see Ezzy's wearing the Betway sweater with a large selection of betting options in sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds. What are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. You must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. There weren't any goals into the third period.
The sweatshirt's a little tighter than it used to be, by the way.
I can't. I'm sure it's shrunk. I'm sure that's exactly the reason why it's a little tighter than it used to be.
You wouldn't let me get it in there, Drew. Well,
I got to jump in there before that.
And I promise, folks, I have not been drinking tonight. I actually just have a Diet Coke here. I have not been drinking. I think it's because I spent so much time watching SportsCenter, Trade Center, I should say, Sportsnet, watching Winnipeg Sports Talk, Daily Faceoff. I think I've just completely lost my mind. I think I also lost my mind watching that game tonight, because nothing happened until the third period. Literally nothing happened.
It's true. Well, if you like whistles, if you went on to Betway and you bet the over under on whistles,
even I like the whistle pig in Transcona.
Yes,
when it was around.
Yes, there were a lot of first period whistles, but there was certainly not a lot of action in what was a very boring first period. 17 first period whistles. I mean, you know, when I'm looking through my notes here, you know, the most interesting part of that first period might have been the play where Monahan had the puck right in front of Joey Decord, and he had his back to Decord, and he tried to pass it to Iafallo, and he just missed Iafallo. I mean, that might have been your most interesting one. There was a nice kick save by Laurent Brossoit off Jordan Eberle. That came with about 5 minutes to go in the first period.
One save that I remember in the first period. I made a note of that, too. There was one chance for Jordan Eberle in the first period, and the Kraken did absolutely nothing. What did they have, 7 shots? Or something. The Jets didn't have
eight
a ton of shots.
It was 9-8. The 9-8 were the shots in the first period. You're right. The most impressive play of the first period, I was what Dave alluded to, where Dylan Sandberg broke up that 3-on-1 rush with a nicely timed dive to knock it off of the stick of the Seattle player as they were had what looked it like it should have been a dangerous play.
Yeah, and the thing I wanted to just isolate on that play too is like. This is the thing too. Dave was tweeting about Sandberg today. Like, it's almost like if you're the Jets, you don't want the other teams in the Western Conference to actually know how good Sandberg is. Like, I don't care what anybody says. This guy is an amazing defenseman. He's not going to put up big offensive numbers, I don't think, Dave, at any point in his career. Like, he might kind of top out around 30 points or something like that. But, like, you have to know, if you misplay that or you don't time that properly, that is going to be an easy goal for the Kraken, right? Like, so good on Sandberg for being aggressive there and picking his spot. Like, he's confident in his game that he does that, right? And there aren't a lot of defensemen that have the confidence in themselves to make a high-risk play like that. So I thought that was tremendous.
Yeah, I would agree. And look, I thought Dylan Sandberg...
Dave has nothing to add.
I was writing into the chat, be sure to smash that like button, folks. Please.
They know. Remind them about that. You know, you can focus on us. Focus on us. Leave the chat for a second. Look at me, Dave. Focus on us.
Look at me. Make eye contact with Drew.
Now you're making it creepy, and I'm going to go back to reading the chat. But look, first of all, Drew, one of the things we didn't mention was that Rasmus Kupari came in for David Gustafsson. So that was somewhat notable. I mean, you know, just I think they're.
I had no idea Kupari was in the game.
No, there were a couple of plays where I noticed him, but like, I think it's one of those things where Rick Bowness isn't going to let guys sit too long, those extra guys. I think that, and you know, I had a question from the chat asking about who's going to get sent down to the Moose, but I know, but you may know that, Drew, but maybe the chat doesn't, which is why I'm informing them right now that the roster limits now are no longer applicable. So the only thing you have to be aware of still is that you still have to be cap compliant, but you don't need to have a worry about whether there's a 23 on the roster. You can have 25, 26, whatever it's going to be. So that doesn't really apply. Of course, you're not going to want that many guys. So you would send guys down to the Moose if necessary. And we'll see what happens when, of course, Foley and Miller join the group. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's just something we're going to be seeing is in a way to keep guys activated. So sure. I think you'll see Kupari and Gustafsson coming in and out for each other. And, you know, maybe a guy like Axel Johnsson Fjällby, who's been really good up with the, down with the Moose. Sorry. So, but look, again, did a lot happen? No, but I think the important thing that we saw, and we obviously mentioned it in our preamble, boys, was the fact that the Jets played good defensive, responsible hockey for the most part. Obviously there were some gaffes, but when there were, their D made good plays. So that's what you wanted to see. You wanted to see that this team is tightening up. All we hear about often is how tight things are getting as they, you know, run toward how many games are left now? 20 games
22.
Left? 22. So right? 22. Oh, I keep forgetting that there's 84 games. I thought it was like 82.
No, no.
I was like,
20 games. Right. You're right. 20. I got,
Drew, I was like, what's going on? I'm like, I thought this was game 62, but anyways, all right. I'm like, when did they start playing 84 games? But then I just went with it because I was like, oh, Drew seems to know what he's talking about. I'll go with it because he's the host. He should know, right, Ezzy?
Sure.
Ezzy's like, Ezzy doesn't care about anything at this point in time. After midnight here on now Saturday morning, over almost 800 of you joining us here on the Illegal Curve, a post-game show talking about the Jets and the Kraken. Jets victorious 3-0 over Seattle. This is the Betway game recap. A first period where not a lot happened. Dylan Sandberg with the defensive play of the period, as we mentioned there. Even that, you know, odd man rush, which you obviously never like giving up an odd man rush. It's more of a fluke than it is a breakdown. It's, you know, it comes off of a Nino Niederreiter shot that was so, you know, heavy and missed the net that it ricochets all the way back out, and the Jets were being aggressive. So it's not like it's a huge breakdown or a huge, you know, inconceivable turnover that leads to the odd man rush. It's just sort of a weird happenstance that led to it. But ultimately, nothing happens as a result. Nothing happened in that first period to speak of, and that's why it was 0-0. After 20 minutes, shots on goal 9-8 in favor of the Winnipeg Jets. Second period, sort of similar to that first. Not a lot of high event hockey there. Shots after that's in the second period were 9-4 in favor of the Winnipeg Jets. So really, if you think about it, in the final 40 minutes of the game, the Jets gave up a grand total of 9 shots, which is pretty stifling, but also pretty terrible if you're Seattle.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, right? So like, I think, you know, if you're going to have two takeaways, boys, for this game, it's that the Jets really stymied the Kraken. And like Drew said, I mean, there wasn't a lot of time and space for the Kraken to do anything in the Jet zone, but also for the Kraken, that can't be your A-level performance when you're 6 points out of a playoff spot, you're fighting for your playoff lives, you're at home, you just you know, won two games to keep your playoff hopes alive. So I think those are the two takeaways, that this Kraken team doesn't deserve to be in the playoffs, but the Jets deserve a lot of credit for just a nice, tidy Friday night road victory.
Yeah, you know, my notes in the second period are similar to the first in that there's not a ton of them. You have a Nate Schmidt turnover early in that second period that leads to a chance for Seattle. Matty Beniers to Thomas Tatar. Tatar hits the iron on this one. They hit they hit the post twice.
He couldn't tie the game.
What? Say that again, Ezzy?
Said he.
It was a joke. You were making one of your funny puns, were you?
Yeah. Okay. He was trying to tie the game. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. No, he was trying to break the tie, is what
that's
it was.
Sorry, that's
it was the tied at that point in time. Yeah. Another one, you know, the Jets had a good chance. Scheifele to Morrissey, and Morrissey redirects it. And he just redirects it wide. It goes off the side of the net. And he thought, you know, consistently from that second and third period, Scheifele, Connor, Namestnikov, they were a load to handle for Seattle. In fact, Seattle couldn't handle them at all. That line was very good for the Winnipeg Jets. And anytime they were on the ice, you could usually expect the play to be in the Seattle zone. Justin Schultz had a good chance for Seattle off of a face-off win. Brandon Tanev grazed the post on a backhand.
I was going to mention the Tanev. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look. There wasn't a lot going on at all in this game.
Dylan, I thought there was Stafford, one shift. Sorry, I was going to say, like, we're obviously going to get into the first goal. Josh Morrissey plays a big part, but there was one shift late in the second period, I believe, or maybe midway through the second period, where Morrissey, Dave tweeted it out, like he was doing his dance along the blue line, and he kept a play alive. And I don't even know if it resulted in a shot for him specifically, but he just kept a shift going. And I thought that Morrissey was probably the most noticeable player on the ice in the second period, to be honest with you, because you can tell, and we've seen this guys over the years. We saw this a lot last year, maybe a little bit less so this year, but you know, Morrissey has the ability, and this was a sleepy in Seattle type of game. Nice. And you know, you like that, Drew. I know you like that.
You got mail, Ezzy.
Yeah, exactly. I actually did get mail today. I got some letters from the bank, a few Pizza Hotline.
collection agency.
Yeah. No. I have no debts. I keep all my cash under the mattress, Drew. But I mean, Morrissey was phenomenal tonight. And we've seen that so many times, Dave, where there's a game where there's maybe not a lot going on and you're wondering who's going to take this game over. Oftentimes it's Scheifele. Sometimes it's Ehlers, maybe Connor. But Morrissey can do that, you know, with the best of them.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I think I was just going to, I agree with you. Well, do you want to go into the goal and then we'll do that? Because I mean, look, Josh Morrissey is the reason this goal happened, right? His play at the blue line is what really, he's just aggressive. Like his play is elevating. And like I said, a couple shows ago, like it's amazing to think that he's on pace for 58 assists. Ezzy, I didn't tweet that one out. I thought about it, but then I thought Ezzy's going to get mad at me if I tweet it, or he'll make fun of me. I never get mad at you. Yeah, you never get mad, but you'd make fun. And so I've already given you enough ammunition. So I was like, but it's amazing to think that he looked like he was going to get, you know, low 50s, maybe high 40s. And now he's just been on this run. Yeah. And Ezzy mentioned it, and it's true. He is that guy who's taking over games. And, you know, it's interesting, right? Because like you hear people say, oh, Josh Morrissey isn't this and Josh Morrissey isn't that. Well, I don't know.
People who just don't watch the Jets. I mean, how do you know if somebody doesn't watch the Winnipeg Jets? It's because when they say that Josh Morrissey is not that impactful.
Yeah, I know. I was just like,
what team are you watching?
Well, they're not watching the Jets.
Yeah, they don't watch the Jets. And so, and they generalize and they don't.
We can all agree, boys, that he's going to be on Team Canada for the Four Nations Challenge. And he's going to be on Team Canada most likely at the Olympics.
I would think so.
Based on his play in the last 2 years, there's no yes.
I think he'll make the team. And on that topic, I think Scheifele will make the team too.
If Mark Scheifele plays like he's played this year, probably
he'll probably be on Team Canada's fourth line. But who cares?
I mean, yeah. He might not even be playing center. Right? He might just be a winger. But
he might be on the fourth line wing.
Yeah, but. No, JB, Scheifele never played for the Moose. Just a quick update for the chat. But no, I mean, look, I just think that he played for
St. John's.
That's true. He did play for the Ice Caps in the playoffs, I think. But he didn't during their run. I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah, him and Lowry joined the year before they came back. That year, I think they played the Hershey Bears in the finals.
I remember Morrissey being on that team. I don't remember Scheifele being on that team.
I'm pretty sure Scheifele joined and played for that one playoff run. I could be wrong. This Ezzy, Hockey DB?
I'll check.
Anyways, so, but I think you were watching.
I was literally Googling.
You're right. 10 games. He played 10 games and had two and had one assist for the St. John's Ice Caps in 11-12 in the playoffs.
Who's got the big brain? Who's got the big brain, boys?
You guys do.
There we go. Anyways, so no, but what I was going to say though is that we're seeing a guy in Morrissey who's doing exactly what the Jets need him to do, is being a number one defenseman. And he's, like I said, he's a different type of player, obviously, than other top pairing defensemen, but just watching what he's doing and the impact he has on the game, and his, and like I said, his aggressiveness, but obviously done with a very intelligent well thought out plan that you can see he develops.
Shouldn't Remus be sleeping, by the way?
I was gonna say, I think he probably thought this was some sort of Twitch stream, and he went to the wrong spot. He should be open, like doing a card break, a box open, or whatever that.
Well, more importantly,
Winnipeg Sports.
I was gonna say 3 years for those guys.
But also, I think Remo and Huss were on for like 5 hours today. They were on for at least 4 hours. But Remus can correct me here, but I'm pretty sure they did like four and a half to 5 hours.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ezzy. I think they did like 11 to 4 because I thought they were done, and then I texted Remus for something, and he's like, "We're still on." I was like, "Oh, okay." Well, I thought you were already off, but now he's saying, "Yo, guys." Anyways, I just think, and look, we talk about it. One of the things that you need to be a Stanley Cup champion? You need an elite forward or two. You need an elite defenseman, and you need elite goaltending. Well, we know they've got elite goaltending. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Drew's the one who likes to throw around the word elite, so I'll let him do that one, but.
There's no, the way Josh Morrissey's been playing over the last, the last couple of years, but especially the last, month. Yeah. I mean, 3 weeks, whatever you want to say it, he's absolutely been the driver for this Winnipeg Jets. If Connor Hellebuck is always the most important Winnipeg Jets player, and he is, Josh Morrissey has been the second most important Winnipeg Jets player as of late. He's been driving this team from the back end. And, you saw it again today with the opening goal in the third period. But before we get to that goal, I want to highlight a play that started the third period. It didn't result in a goal, but I think it sort of told you the Winnipeg Jets mindset to start the third. 0-0 after 40 minutes. Duller than dishwater for the vast majority of this game. The third period starts, and Mark Scheifele has a strong net drive. They referenced it on the broadcast. He drops his shoulder and he goes hard at it. Nothing comes of it. It's just a relatively routine save by Joey Decord. But what you like about it is that the mindset that Scheifele is demonstrating on this play early in the third period, that it's not going to be a perimeter play. It's not going to be, it's just going to be a hard net drive. And that's where the Jets are going to focus their energies and where the Jets are going to play the game in that third period. Then they followed that up by another good line by 81-55-7 by Connor Scheifele and Namestnikov. This is, the first couple shifts in that third period for the Winnipeg Jets. And then ultimately they do succeed and get the opening goal. This coming at the 7:15 mark of the third period. Mark Scheifele, his 19th of the year. Doesn't it seem like Scheifele should have more goals than 19 at this point of the season, but yes, that's a separate issue entirely. Scheifele is 19th, assist to Namestnikov and Josh Morrissey, and it's Morrissey making the key play at the blue line and just winning a puck battle, just refusing to lose a puck battle, being stronger, being tougher, being more insistent on victory than the Seattle Kraken. It gets onto the stick of Namestnikov, who's there in support, and he finds Mark Scheifele, who's behind all the Kraken, he's behind their defense, and he outweights Joey Decord and tucks it in to give the Jets a 1-0 lead, Ezzy.
Yeah, I mean, you focused a lot on Josh Morrissey, and rightly so, Drew, right? Like, he beats Jared McCann to the puck. He keeps the puck in at the blue line. He did that several times tonight. We talked about in the second period, he extended several shifts out there with the Scheifele line. And look, Scheifele is a goal scorer, and I'm with you, Drew. Like, you kind of think, Scheifele's at 35 goals on the season or something like that, right? Yeah. Based on the way he's played. I mean, he's a point per game, right? He's close to a point per game, right? Which has been throughout his career, right? But he just outweights Joey Decord, who's had a good season for the Kraken, and just slips it through his legs. But yeah, you got to love the effort by Morrissey. And that's what it is there. Like, Dave talks about his skating, and Morrissey is an absolute elite skater. And I feel like sometimes we forget in Winnipeg, or if you're a Jets fan and you watch the Jets a lot, you're kind of spoiled in that you have Kyle Connor, you have Nick Ehlers. Ehlers is arguably the best skater in the entire league, right? All due respect to Connor McDavid. But at the very least, Dave, you're going to say Ehlers is probably a top five, top 10 skater.
Yeah.
And same thing goes with Kyle Connor. But Josh Morrissey, that this isn't like this is Morrissey's skating or this is anything like it's not skill. It's just will at this particular point, right? He keeps the play alive. Gets it over to Scheifele, and you know Scheifele does the rest, left all alone in front of Joey Decord. So finally, we had a goal in this game after going the majority of the game without one.
Yeah, exactly right. And the Jets get on the board early, not early, but you know at the 7:15 mark of the first period. Pardon me, the third period, and that's what good teams do: is that when it's a close game, they decide, okay, we're going to take it over, we're going to win this one. And the Jets really took over that third period. We've outlined the disparity in the shots on goal. 14-5 in favor of the Winnipeg Jets in that third period. Possession wise in the third period, 58% to 42% for the Jets in, you know, for them. Again,
Sean Monahan effect.
Well, you know, look, it's the entire team for the Winnipeg Jets doing well here. And they obviously get the insurance marker. But before we can talk about the insurance marker, you have to talk about the one and only penalty that happened in this game. And it was based, it starts with a bad giveaway by Nikolai Ehlers. This is bad Nikolai Ehlers on this play at the Jets' offensive blue line. He tries to do too much. It leads to a turnover. Andre Burakovsky comes in, and it's a nice save by Laurent Brossoit. Probably the nicest save he made in the course of the game, one of them. And it also results in a Mark Scheifele tripping penalty as he's coming back hard on the back check. And he gets nicked as well by a skate. So he heads off for some stitches. He heads off for some repair work to the Jets dressing room. And Nino Niederreiter serves the penalty for Mark Scheifele. And, you know, Seattle, if they were able to capitalize on this power play opportunity, the only power play in the game, hard to believe, well, then it's a 1-1 game. Instead, the Jets have a very successful penalty kill, Dave, where the Jets really, I don't know if Seattle got a shot on that power play.
I think I remember, didn't McCann have one shot on net? It wasn't that great of a shot, but I think they had one. I might be wrong about that.
Maybe if they did, it certainly wasn't anything that would be considered a high danger chance. The Jets really stifled that Seattle power play. They didn't give them any opportunity to set up and really establish it very well. And the Jets quite routinely, for a team that's been struggling on the PK, they quite routinely killed off what could have been a very dangerous moment of the game. This with, you know, just about 11 and a half minutes still to go in that third period.
Two things I want to, reference, Drew. Number one, blame Damon Robertson. He was trying to manifest the penalty as he was like, there's no penalties in this game, in his conversation with Kevin Sawyer. I'm like, Dan, you're going to manifest the penalty, and look what happens. Penalties show up. But the other thing that, you know, Drew, one of the things you just said, I thought it was interesting. Scheifele comes back hard. And that has been such a difference in the game for 55. And that's showing that will to win. And that will, or to prevent a goal in this instance, but obviously ultimately to win a hockey game. And that's what's been, lacking from his game. Let's just put it that way, in large parts, and it's not anymore. And so that to me is the key. And sure, there ends up being a penalty, but you like the compete and the fact that he's coming back hard as the center and, you know, trying to help out his team and ensure that a goal doesn't go in. So, it could have been a bad, really bad situation because he gets caught by Burakovsky's skate. So, I mean, that could have ended up being really bad. He ends up just getting, you know, briefly stitched up. Poor Nino Niederreiter, as he gets sent to the penalty box, he didn't do anything wrong, but somehow, usually that's Cole Perfetti's. I'm actually surprised that it wasn't Perfetti, but, but anyways, Nino Niederreiter ends up in the penalty box as maybe he had to go in. Maybe he was on the ice. I don't know what the, we'll have to ask scouting the refs that in that instance, what the rule is.
Can't you not pick any player on the bench in that situation?
Well, I think for a delay of game penalty, you can. I'm just wondering if there's some instance where.
No, not a delay of game penalty. That would be whoever flicks it over the glass.
No. Sorry.
You mean a too many men penalty.
Too many men penalty. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Bench
I think. Yeah. But I'm thinking I would think that you could pick anybody, but you know, why would you pick Nino Niederreiter, who's, you know, you think you'd throw Cole Perfetti in there generally. That's what they tend to do. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, fair point. And that's a good question. Maybe somebody
scouting the refs, Ezzy. Talk to him.
Yeah, exactly. Call Josh Smith up. That's who's scouting the refs. Is a
shout out to scouting the refs. They do an awesome job.
They do an awesome job. Yeah, our buddy Josh, there, a frequent guest here on the show, or has been.
Is it frequent?
Yeah, he's been a guest over the years.
Back in the radio days, we had him on a lot.
Yeah,
but now we're more often. We're fancy boys on YouTube now.
That we are, as fancy boys. So the Jets kill the penalty to Scheifele, and then really less than a minute after it ends, 57 seconds after it ends, the Jets make it 2-0. It's Adam Lowry. He gets into double digits this year, his 10th of the year. Assist to Nino Niederreiter and Mason Appleton. And what you have here is you have a clean zone entry by Nino Niederreiter, and he leaves it for Appleton, and you got a very smart shot by Mason Appleton. It's a shot for a rebound. He goes to the far pad of Joey Decord, and Decord cooperates by kicking the rebound out right in front of the net. Niederreiter gets the first rebound opportunity. Decord makes the subsequent save, but it goes to Adam Lowry, and Lowry makes no mistake. So third time the charm on this in terms of flurry of shots on goal, and it's 2-0 for the Jets into the latter half of the third period, as he.
Yeah, and you know what? I got to give Mason Appleton credit here. I thought, you know, he's had now his second consecutive strong game, and maybe it has to do with the fact that, you know, he used to play for the Kraken. Obviously, I'm joking, but we know that these guys get up, you know, to play their ex-teams, or, you know, if they're playing in their hometown, like Scheifele in Toronto, for example, right? But you're right. I mean, it's a smart shot, and, like, watching this goal, you know, and Kevin Sawyer, got to give him credit. He was talking about this a lot. Like, you know, we joked about, you know, Nino Niederreiter being called the human torpedo, right? Like, this is just three big men kind of coming at you. And, you know, we know all three of these guys can drive the net, but it's kind of textbook. Like, this was the most third line goal ever, right, boys? Yeah. Like, you know, put a shot on net for a rebound. Lowry drives the net, but Nino Niederreiter is also driving the net. Like, if the rebound happened to come more up the middle as opposed to the right of Decord, you know, Niederreiter would have been there for the rebound, right? So, look, this is the line that you're going to count on a lot in the playoffs. You've counted on them all year long, and you're going to count on them to do the exact same type of stuff. And obviously, this game did not have a playoff feel at all, but we know that certain games in the playoffs are going to be like this, right? Especially if you're playing a strong goalie, and Joey Decord is a strong goalie. Ottawa, I think, is very much regretting the fact that they don't have him in net for them, because he's obviously having his breakout year. But you're absolutely right, Drew. It was a smart shot by Appleton. And look, Lowry, this is how Lowry earns his money, right? He earns his money scoring goals in the slot. He earns his money with his physicality, dropping the mitts, and being a great leader. So this was the insurance goal that you needed at this point, because I don't think anybody watching that game, certainly I didn't think the Kraken were coming back after they went down 2-0.
No, I would agree with that. With Lowry's goal, the Jets get yet another goal scorer into double figures. And that, from my perspective, is worthy of our Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Maybe you're having a late night nip, or you're deciding what to have to drink tomorrow night. May we recommend any of the fine Seagram's products? Perhaps Seagram's VO is your product of choice. Masterfully blended, distinctly Canadian, available at every fine liquor mart and liquor store near you. Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's. 2-0 for the Winnipeg Jets, and exactly what Ezzy said. It's almost like they gave up, because it seemed like they weren't even going to pull Joey Decord to try and get an empty net goal.
Thank you, Drew, for finally, you know, joining the dark side here.
Like, yeah, anytime I agree with Ezzy, it is the dark side.
I mean, like, I that's what I was thinking. Like, 2 minutes left. Justin Schultz is casually bringing the puck up the ice.
Yeah.
Like, Jared McCann is kind of going east to west, you know, not really sure what he's going to do. Like, the Kraken couldn't put three passes together. Like, I don't know. Watching that game, I don't know how you would think that the Kraken have a chance at making the playoffs and getting that last wild card spot, because, again, they're at home.
They don't.
And it's not like, you know, they traded a bunch. Alex Wennberg was the only guy they traded, guys.
He wasn't even playing the last few games.
Exactly, right? So I agree with you, Drew. I mean, that was just that effort was not acceptable for a team whose playoff lives are on the line.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. The Jets wrap up the scoring after Kyle Connor hit the goalpost. So the Jets almost made it 3-0 after the Scheifele goal. But then the Jets do wrap up the scoring into the empty net with 50 seconds to go. Nikolaj Ehlers getting his 19th of the year. Assist to Sean Monahan, assist to Alex Iafallo. And it's a 3-0 final for the Winnipeg Jets, Dave. We don't break down empty net goals here, but a very tidy third period for a Winnipeg Jets team that was 0-0 after 40 minutes. Then they decided, okay, we'll just win this game. We'll just be the better of the two teams as they are on paper. And they were the better of the two teams on the ice in that final period as well.
Yeah. And look, Drew, it's their 40th win of the season, 40th win in game 62 in 22-23 last year. Remember the big year where they were doing well and then they started to collapse. 40th win came in game 72. So they're 10 games ahead of that one, if my maritime math is correct. And 17-18, which of course, Ezzy, is the year that everybody loves to reference, including Colin Miller, who went to the Stanley Cup Finals that year with Vegas.
Should that be prairie math?
Well, yeah, we always do that in honor of Rick. Rick Rowell. And they did that in 17-18. They did it the 40th win in game 66. So they are four games ahead of that pace. So this Jets team is doing things we've never seen here.
You're going
to mention
that after every Jets win, aren't you? You're not.
Oh, yeah. You got that.
When Dave has his narrative,
I know.
I mean, Drew has his narrative for these post game shows, but Dave has his online narrative that he needs to keep going.
Dave grinds it into an absolute, grinds it into dust. Mine at least changes from game to game.
I don't think so. I'm consistent.
I know. You are consistent. Jets win 3-0 on ice victory.
Hold on. One second. Phyllis said, I saw that on your Twitter, Dave. Great stats. Thank you, Phyllis.
Please stop. Please.
Well, people that follow Drew know that he puts out stuff like he did with the Connor Scheifele Namestnikov line, and he tests the stuff out on Twitter to see how it does. Oh, yeah. And then he brings it up on the postgame show.
Drew is what we call a narrative.
I'm just completely random and make absolutely no sense. And then I just continue that on the postgame show. So I'm very consistent at being random.
And Drew's a narrative tester, we call him.
Is that what we call me? I didn't know that. Drew Wendell is at least in the Facebook part of the chat, who is still, I'm not convinced, isn't one of you posing as pretending to be an alternate version of
you. God bless everyone who's watching us right now, because it is, what is it? It's 12:20 or something in the morning. Right now.
In the morning.
Yeah. So everybody who's joining us, just thank
over
you
800 of you live here on the Illegal Curve post-game show talking about the Jets defeating the Seattle Kraken by a 3-0 margin. That was the Betway game recap. When we come back, we talk about the off-ice victories for the Winnipeg Jets, an abbreviated version of it because it is almost half past 12, and we have to do this all again in 8.5 hours on the Illegal Curve hockey show on Saturday morning. So stay with us. We'll touch on the trade deadline, much more on the deadline, of course, tomorrow morning. Jets win tonight 3-0. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you on what is now a Saturday morning edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show.
BP's new New York Sicilian square footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian square footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has 0 calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking. And to sweeten the deal even more,
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Half past the bottom of the hour, it is the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg here with you on what is now Saturday morning. In 8.5 hours, the Illegal Curve hockey show gets underway, where we are all about the Winnipeg Jets and the just completed NHL trade deadline. A very effective day for the Jets in the trading market. They get Tyler Toffoli to address a top six forward need. They get Colin Miller to address a need for a right side defenseman. They don't give up an overwhelming amount in terms of assets, really. And we will delve deeper into this tomorrow on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You know, even the biggest skeptic would have a difficult time finding fault with any of the moves the Winnipeg Jets made earlier, I guess yesterday, as the case may be, with the NHL trade deadline, Ezzy.
Yeah, and you know what, you can, you know, put me in the surprise camp in terms of, you know, the Jets acquiring Tyler Toffoli, because based on what we were hearing, guys, the last couple of days, it seemed like LA was the front runner, right? Because Toffoli obviously started his career with the Kings, won a Stanley Cup, mm-hmm. and then you heard Vancouver wanted Tyler Toffoli, right? So it didn't seem like the Jets were the front runner,
yeah.
But he was one of the best forwards available, right? Yeah. So you're absolutely right, Drew. Like, just based on that alone, like, even if the Jets didn't acquire Colin Miller or someone else, I think you would say the Jets were a winner because, I mean, Tyler Toffoli is an excellent player. Like, he makes your top six better. He's exactly what you needed. You needed more goal scoring in your top six. He's going to play with Monahan and Ehlers, or Monahan and Connor. Maybe he plays on the Scheifele line. He's going to be in the top six. So you get an excellent forward. And then Colin Miller, I mean, it's been discussed a lot since the Jets acquired him earlier today. He played on Vegas back in 2018. He's just a solid veteran right shot defenseman, right? Like, I'm not sure if he's going to play with Dylan or if he's going to play with Dylan Sandberg. Doesn't really matter. The reality is the Jets now have a better group of defensemen than they did yesterday, right? It pushes Logan Stanley down, right? He's now the quote unquote number eight defenseman. So we'll see what happens. I think Nate Schmidt has played fine, but I think, you know, there's always a chance that, you know, Colin Miller bumps Nate Schmidt out of the lineup. And then if Nate Schmidt is your seventh defenseman, then you've got, and Logan Stanley is your eighth defenseman, then you've got a good, you know, group of defensemen there. It's deep. And then you've got Ville Heinola, Dave, that you could always call up, right? Kyle Capobianco, I think you would agree, would probably be the next call up after Ville Heinola, right? So there's your 10 defensemen. So I think the Jets are set up pretty well. We've always talked about, you know, you have to have 10 NHL ready defensemen in the playoffs, right? You don't want to start putting, you know, all due respect to a guy like Tyrell Bauer, right? Like, you don't want to start putting guys that have no NHL experience or no, you know, NHL upside into a playoff game, right? So, yeah, I think today went really well for the Jets, Drew. I think, you know, I'm excited personally about Tyler Toffoli, and I think most Jets fans are, because the guy is just a great NHL player. He's had a great career, and it's not like, you know, his play has been in decline. What did he have, 73 points
last year? He's got as many goals as Kyle Connor, has he?
Exactly. So he's got 26 goals, 44 points, something like that. Like, this guy makes the Jets better, period. And like Drew said, they didn't have to give up a prospect to get him.
No, yeah, no. Well, Ezzy, by the way, you got beef with T. Kona Pauly, because when you said Tyrell Bauer has no NHL upside, I was like, as soon as I heard those words, I was like, I'm not saying Tyrell Bauer won't play in the NHL,
Dave, but yeah, I think you'd agree.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
His ceiling is very high at the NHL level.
No, I don't. Tyler, you know, with all due respect, Tyrell Bauer is not going to be an NHL regular at any point in time.
Well, first of all, that is a bold statement. We do not put labels on guys who have not even had a sniff yet, Drew. And for the amount of times you've watched Tyrell Bauer, zero, I would not really take your assessment with a grain of salt. Or I would take it with a grain of salt, I should say. But the other thing that I would say that we learned today was that Gabriel Vilardi is expected to skate on Monday. We also learned, that he didn't go on the trip. And right. This has been a very peculiar situation with the winger, because if you recall, he stayed on the bench in Dallas on that Thursday night. So you're thinking, okay, well, it's not that serious because he's staying on the bench. He didn't leave to go get assessed. And then the next day they practiced in Texas before they flew to Carolina, and you thought, okay, he didn't skate. And then, but Rick Bonus said, well, he's possible for tomorrow. Okay, fine. Then the next day after the game against Carolina, the comeback win, Rick Bonus says he's flown back to Winnipeg. Okay, that's not great. The Jets, of course, played the back-to-back, so we don't hear from Rick Bonus and company because they're off on Monday till Tuesday. And then on Tuesday, he says, well, he's coming on the trip with us, but we'll have an update for you on Friday. Okay, now the potential was for the Jets to practice on Wednesday. They canceled that, but then they practiced on Thursday. So we get an update from Rick Bonus, and he says he's ruled out for both games.
It's important to note that they practiced in Seattle on Thursday.
Yeah.
They didn't practice in Winnipeg on Thursday. So they, you know, at that point in time, they knew he wasn't going to travel.
No, because Rick Bonus said he was coming on the trip on Tuesday.
But on Thursday, they knew he didn't come on the trip.
I don't think that was expressed. No, actually, to be honest with you, I don't think that was expressly stated at all. In fact, it
may not have been expressly stated, but the Jets obviously knew he wasn't there.
Oh, no, I'm not saying the Jets didn't know, Drew. I'm saying we didn't know, because the point was that Rick Bonus had told us that he was going on the trip and that he would have an assessment on Friday, which I thought, again, that's a big gap between Tuesday and Friday. Anyways, the point is that you're starting to wonder, are the Jets not saying anything because they're worried about Gabriel Vilardi and they don't want to drive prices up in advance of the trade deadline? If there's a bigger concern,
it's a good point
with Gabriel Vilardi.
It's a valid point, Dave, because I think, you know, you had people kind of speculating, you know, is Tyler Toffoli almost like insurance in case Gabe Vilardi is out for, you know, 2 to 4 weeks or maybe even longer, right? And now it appears. And the thing too that's nice is that it's an upper body injury, right? Gabe Vilardi had the knee injury earlier this year.
Yeah.
So it's not related. So it's not like, you know, something that he's re-aggravated something. So it was really good news coming out from Rick Bonus today that Vilardi is going to be back. Hopefully, what's the next game at home against the Capitals?
Monday against the Capitals.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I just was saying that it was just curious.
That is a good point that there may have been some gamesmanship going on from the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah. I just thought it was curious. Rick Bonus was like, well, we'll tell you on Friday. It's like, well, we're going to talk to you at least
after the deadline.
Yeah. We'll talk to you at least once or twice more, Rick. So what do you mean you're going to tell us on Friday? But anyways, ultimately, and then today, Kevin Cheveldayoff revealed that he actually hadn't gone on the trip, but that he was expected to be skating on Monday. So there's your Gabriel Vilardi update. And of course, you know, I'm not going to give up too many thoughts on the trade deadline. It was a crazy busy one, I will say. We have everything that took place, all the instant analysis, including Ezzy's instant analysis. That's on our TikTok if you want to watch that. But
appreciate that. I'm trying to grow my followers.
Hang on. Time out. What?
What do you mean? No, Ezzy does instant analysis.
I missed that. I was not.
Right, Drew, if you weren't a boomer and knew how to use TikTok, you'd understand that Ezzy does instant analysis on TikTok.
You know what I found out recently? I'm a millennial. I thought I was too old to be a millennial.
You are too old to be a millennial.
Look at the millennial. Look at the years for millennials. 1982.
I thought you were like a Gen Yer or something.
What is a Gen Yer?
I don't know. That's like somewhere between a Gen X and a Gen Y
named Gen Y once?
No. I'm pretty sure Gen Y is we're between Gen X
well, you
and
guys
millennials.
Are millennials too.
Anyways, before we go too sidebar-y, it is almost 1 o'clock in the morning. I just wanted to say, if you didn't catch anything from today, we've got it all available on illegalcurve.com and on our YouTube channel. We've got the interview with Tyler Toffoli, his first one as a member of the Winnipeg Jets. He spoke for about 9 minutes. And then we've got the full
1981 to 1996. Sorry, Dave, you're not a millennial.
Okay, I knew Ezzy was going to go there, and then I was going to do some digging. And if you didn't get a chance to hear Kevin Cheveldayoff's full media availability, we also have that up on our YouTube channel and illegalcurve.com. So check it out. Lots of analysis from today in Jetsland. And, of course, I'm not going to steal Drew's thunder, but there'll be some more analysis coming your way.
And it was Generation X, Drew. There's no Generation Y.
I thought there was a Gen Y.
No, I think there's a Generation Z.
Maybe it's Gen Z.
That's right.
Maybe that's
Zed,
what I am.
Zed.
Well, Gen Z, I'm
say it. You're Gen Canadian.
Z's. I'm Canadian. My wife and kids are
your
dual
kids, your kids and Laura can say Z. You have to say Z.
Fair enough. In any event, we're gonna say Z for go to bed as in sleep, because we have to do the Illegal Curve hockey show in 8 hours and 20 minutes. So way more on the trade deadline. We'll get deep into the deadline at 9 a.m. here back on our YouTube channel. Murat is gonna join us at 9:30, and then the People's Insider, Jordan Schmaltz, is going to join us at 10:30 for his analysis on the trade deadline. So be sure to join us 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Hold on. Tough duck, hardest hitting comment, Drew.
Ooh. Oh, yes. Yes, sorry. I forgot about that.
Hit that bumper.
Okay, I thought you had the bumper ready. I guess you don't. Nope. Hang on. Nope. Here it is.
The tough duck, hardest hitting comment.
I can't believe it. Drew was going to leave me hanging there. Tough duck, hardest hitting comment tonight is going to go to Louis Batista. I like this comment here. I don't know about y'all. I know Drew appreciates that y'all being from Kentucky. I'm so damn
from
pumped.
Kentucky, but yes.
So the Commonwealth of Kentucky. I'm not going to make that mistake again.
No, you better not.
I'm so damn pumped for what awaits this team going forward when the two new guys play for us. Elliot Friedman's talked highly of the Jets. We talked about Craig Button. Has also talked highly of the Jets, predicting that the Jets are going to go to the Stanley Cup final. And you know what? I think Craig might be right on that one. I don't know if he's going to be right about them losing, because I don't want Jets fans to get mad at me here. But I think with the Toffoli and Miller acquisitions, the Jets are just as deep as almost any team in the league. So Louis Batista, sorry, go ahead, Dave.
No, I just want to interject one thing, as I will say this. If this isn't the greatest first round of the playoffs in 20 or 30 years, I will be shocked. I think every series, and I don't mean the specifics, but I just think every team has loaded up, and I think it's going to make for such exciting playoff hockey this first round, which is always, I mean, my favorite, your guys' favorites. So I think it's just going to be, incredible. I'm so excited.
I know. I want the first round of the playoffs to start now. Like, think about, we talk about, the Jets could play Colorado or Dallas in the first round. The Jets could play the Golden Knights in the first round. Can you imagine that first round series?
How about Jets Los Angeles Kings? Because I think that very well could be the case. I think you could see a Jets Kings first round. We talk about storylines galore. Maybe Pierre-Luc Dubois can show up for a game this year, come the playoffs, because he's been AWOL for the first 62 of the Kings regular season.
The Jets Kings would be a phenomenal first round series.
Could you imagine, like, just forgetting about the whole Dubois thing, like just all the Kings that are on the Jets? It would be phenomenal. It would be unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, okay, in about 20 games.
Send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, with your mailing info, and Tough Duck will ship out a toque to you.
There you go. Big congratulations to Luis Batista, tonight's winner of the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. Big thank you to all of the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the post-game show, the Saturday show, and the website a possibility. Our friends at Rolly's Transfer, Farmery Beer, Seagram's, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Grid Park, where you can use code Illegal Curve to park for free, Tough Duck, Betway, Zapia Group Realty, and of course, Linden Market Dental Center. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve hockey. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Tell your friends, tell your family the best place to be each and every Saturday morning and after each and every Winnipeg Jets game is the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. And of course, we always want to hear from you. Leave us some feedback on the channel. Like I said, tomorrow, 9 a.m., never mind tomorrow, that's actually this morning, in 8 hours and 15 minutes, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Murat Atesh, Jordan Schmaltz are going to join us. All of you are going to be back joining us as well. Tons of Jets talk. We'll talk about the trade deadline and we'll get you set for the Jets and the Canucks later on tonight. As for last night's result, the Jets 3, the Kraken 0. The Jets head into Seattle and they start the road trip with a victory. Big thanks to all of you for joining us. Big thanks to Dave Minuk. Big thanks to Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until tomorrow, actually until later on this morning at 9 a.m. we wish you good night, good morning, and good luck. Thanks for joining us. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.